today we're going to speak of the last name. These names come from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the name in which the coming Messiah given to the nation of Israel at a really dark time for them, a time that they were hoping for a light that would come. In fact, our Advent candles recognize that. They lead up to the light that will come to make a difference, to change the world, to free them, to provide for hope and salvation and redemption. And so this prophecy is given that someday the Messiah will come and he will be these things for his people. Maybe when we say the word Prince of Peace, maybe like you, you think of Christmas, and the last possible word you could use to describe Christmas and the Christmas season might be peace. So much going on. Everybody that wants to try to get together around Christmas. You have kids, and welcome to those that are home from college. Kai's home and others. Anyway, Trevor's back. So there's people that are back, right, that come home. School stops, but you still have those Christmas programs in the Christmas season. You have all those end-of-the-year parties. You have all these presents you feel like you need to buy for all these people. It gets crazy. Family get-togethers with all the relatives you've never seen. It reminds me of a song I heard one time where someone took the 12 days of Christmas and they changed it to be the 12 crazy days of Christmas, sort of talking about all of the things that happen in their life during the Christmas season. And these were I won't sing the song because it might drive you crazy, but this is what they were. 12 dozen cookies. Who hasn't had enough cookies? Come on. It's Christmas. That's my one complaint about all of you that came to our open house. You needed to eat more cookies. I ate a lot of them later. 11 shoppers fighting. 10 cars a-honking. 9 broken presents. That always stinks. 8 bags a-missing. 7 Christmas parties. 6 crazy in-laws. 5 extra pounds. I'm hoping you're not gaining that over Christmas. 4 credit cards. 3 crying babies. 2 missing parts. Doesn't that stink when you get a new toy and the part's missing? Okay. And 1 dry brown Christmas tree because, like me, you forgot to water it. Christmas is crazy. It's crazy. There's so much stuff going on. There's so much in our life that just means craziness. But maybe for you, the reason you wouldn't choose the word peace is maybe a little more significant than that. Christmas is also a time for family, a time for memories, and maybe there are people in your life that aren't here anymore. And maybe this is a season when you're going through that for the first time, or you're remembering that. That's a different level of unrest. Maybe job things are difficult or finances are tight, and Christmas is just another reminder. That's not peaceful, really. So we come to that word peace and we think, is Christmas really peaceful? Maybe like me, when you were a little kid, I remember growing up and going to Christmas services and with my family, and I loved the Christmas season. I enjoyed it immensely. But I did find at least Christmas service, any of them around Christmas, to be fairly peaceful. That was like a one little hour of like solitude in my island of craziness when I was a little kid. And I even felt that as a kid. I'm hope that that's something you felt today. But the question I always have when I left that season was, where is that the rest of the year? If that's what peace feels like, where is it when I leave the church? We know from a passage that follows the reading today in Luke chapter 2, with all of these names, we've been kind of listing a lot of passages. I'll still encourage you to write them down, follow up on them later. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, the angels show up to the shepherds and they make this proclamation about who Jesus will be when he comes. And they say, you know, don't be afraid, because boom, angels showed up and they're terrified. Don't be afraid. I'll bring you good news that's great joy for all the people. And so this Messiah will be born to you. And they say at the end, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, right? Jesus has come, peace to those on whom his favor rests. But yet even the birth of Christ to me doesn't seem like a super peaceful thing. Just step back and look at it for a minute. You have a lady who has been given a child by God. And so she says, I am pregnant, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, this child does not have a human father. Well, that's not a real easy conversation at your next MOPS group, right? Or you go to the grocery store and someone says, so I see you're pregnant, right? That's a tough one, okay? It's not peaceful necessarily. It was probably hard for Mary. I imagine it was hard for Joseph, being pledged to marry her. And even with the visions that God has given them, that's not the easiest thing. Carry that story a little further, and they have to travel to Bethlehem, right? Now, you know that we have not had children, so I have not spent an extensive amount of time around a pregnant lady, but I imagine in my head, with my very limited experience, 7 to 8, 9 months pregnant, traveling to Bethlehem. Okay? I mean, we know they didn't have cars, right? We know they probably had donkeys. Maybe she walked. Those of you that have been pregnant, I'm not sure you'd classify that as peaceful. I mean, maybe you would, but there's not a lot of peace there, right? They get there, she's in a stable, we say. She's in a place with livestock. She's not in a place with modern medicine or a nice bed, or as some of us would want, maybe an epidural. No peace, right? This is not a peaceful thing. Maybe even more seriously, Herod is so ticked off by this idea of a king coming that he decides to kill every child under two in hopes that he might kill this king. So the Prince of Peace comes into the world, and everything I just said happens, and I wonder, do we wonder, where is the peace in that situation? What about today? When you look at the church today, would you say it's peaceful? I think we have many who are anxious about all sorts of things. We have many struggles. We have many financial burdens. We have much strife. And I wonder, where is peace? If he came to be the Prince of Peace, did he fail? Or do we just not understand it? Do we not understand it in the way that he meant it? I want to start by exploring that and looking at just the words that make up the words Prince of Peace. There are two words that make up Prince of Peace in the Hebrew. The two words are Sar, S-A-R, and Shalom, which isn't spelled like Shalom, but you've probably heard some people say it. I want you to just watch a quick video that's going to draw on what those two words, Sar and Shalom, really mean.
Among many other names, Jesus was called the Prince of Peace. In Hebrew, it's the words Sar Shalom. Let's talk about those words, Sar. It means the one who is in charge. It means the captain. It means the Lord. It means the chief. It means the general. The Romans, they used this word Sar. It became C-Z-A-R. Then it became Caesar, like Julius Caesar. It was the one who was in charge. Jesus is the captain, the chief, the Lord, the Sar of Shalom. What does Shalom mean? Shalom was actually a greeting that one person would give to another. Shalom means rest. It means tranquility. It means wholeness. It means completeness. Jesus is the Sar Shalom. You could say he's the captain of rest. He is the Lord of tranquility. He is the chief of contentment. Jesus is the Sar Shalom. As long as we're under Christ, we can have his peace. Does that mean that we can do anything we want and still have peace? Well, of course not. Can a guy get his girlfriend pregnant and then go to church and have peace? No, because he's doing something outside of the lordship or the leadership of Shalom. Can a couple get in a big hairy fight and go ballistic and call each other names and embarrass their kids and then all of a sudden expect to have the peace of God? Well, of course not. Why? Because they're outside of the Sar Shalom. Can a person charge up all their credit cards and spend more money than they make and then just expect to have a peace? No, they're outside of the will of the Sar Shalom. It's only when we're under the lordship of the Sar, the one who's in charge, that we experience his peace. Jesus is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace.
I cut it off because he goes on forever like preachers do or whatever, but I loved the illustration, right? I'm not going to put a little thing up here today to stand for the Sar Shalom, but I am going to walk over here frequently to reference it, so connect that with his little thing he built. But so we have the Sar Shalom, the Prince, the Captain, the Chief, the Lord, the Leader of Shalom, of peace, of tranquility, of completeness, of wholeness. What does that mean for us? What does it look like for Jesus to be the Prince of Peace? If we don't fully understand peace in the way that he described it, what does it mean for us? I want to give you two, I think, fairly significant points from Scripture. There's going to be a couple different Scriptures to talk about them, where I think Scripture talks about how Christ is our peace. The first one is that Christ is your peace who comforts you. Christ is the peace who comforts you. The first thing we realize about the Prince of Peace is he wants to bring you comfort. John 14:27, if you want to write that one down for later, John 14:27. This is Jesus talking, and he says this, "Peace I leave you. My peace, not your peace, not some peace you've created, but my peace, Christ's peace, I give to you," he says. "Not as the world gives, do I give. So don't let your heart be troubled or let it be fearful." He gives you his peace. And it's a peace that comes from the Tsar, from the Lord of Shalom. It's a gift that comes when we are near him, as Craig was underneath of the thing. It's a gift of comfort that comes when we are under the Lordship and near the Tsar Shalom. Quite a few years ago now, some of you know that I worked at a campground a long time ago, a KOA campground, and it was in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, which is really kind of in a center for like Civil War stuff. So if you're a big history guy, you probably would have loved it. We were very close to Antietam and Gettysburg, battlefields. We took tours there and stuff. And actually on our campground in Harper's Ferry, we had a Civil War trench that you could go walk along and lay down in, pretend you were fighting or whatever. And so we kind of built on this whole Civil War theme. And one of the things we did to do that was we had a cannon. Yeah, a real one that worked. We had a cannon on the campground. It was awesome. And we would shoot this thing off, actually. Now, not with like a cannonball in it, but with tons of black powder, and we'd launch this thing. So every Saturday, because our campground was kind of a big weekend thing, campers would show up. Saturday around 2 o'clock, we'd shoot this cannon off. Now, they had been doing this for years, but it was new for me. So the first time I'm at the campground and it's time to shoot off the cannon, I'm a little nervous. This guy named Dave walks into my office. He pulls black powder out of my safe. He starts pouring like a little thing of black powder into a piece of paper that he's going to jam in this cannon, and he's just pouring it right on my desk, freaking me out, like, you know, this explosive on my desk. He rolls these things, throws it back in my safe, just talking the whole time like it's no big deal. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Goes out, shoves it down in this cannon, and a few minutes later, we're ready to pull this little string. Now, that was not, for me, a moment where I felt very peaceful or comforted or safe or any of those things. But I will say that because I was next to Dave, who I knew had done this a lot of times, he'd been doing this for years. He was into Civil War reenactments. He went to some of these battlefields and was a part of that whole thing. Because I was close to Dave, I felt way better about pulling that string. There was a level of comfort that came because I was with Dave. If someone had just handed me black powder and the igniter and said, go shoot off the cannon, there would have been no peace, right? I would have been terrified. But I was with Dave, and I experienced a sense of his peace about the situation. To some infinitesimal small degree, that's sort of what it looks like when Christ gives us his peace. We experience his peace because he is our Lord and he is the King of Shalom. And by being under his rule, we experience peace. So maybe this morning you don't experience the peace of Christ. It could be because instead of being under the Tsar Shalom, we are standing to the side. There could be lots of reasons for that, but maybe we need to come back under the Lordship of Christ. Maybe we need to surrender to him the things that are taking us out from under his peace. I think Scripture gives us a clear way to do this. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 would be a good verse to write down if you feel like you're struggling to find some peace. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this, don't be anxious about anything. Woo! Some of you are anxious about everything, right? Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and then what happens? And then the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When there are things going on in our life over here that are taking us away and distracting us and making us anxious and angry and frustrated and all that stuff, Scripture says, bring those things to the Lord of peace, give them to him, trust him with them, and receive from him in some small degree, like I received from Dave, his peace. A peace that cannot be explained. A peace that I probably can't describe to you because it must be experienced. Jesus is your Prince of Peace. He's the peace that comforts you. He's the one who gives you peace that cannot be explained. If you are feeling those ways this morning, anxious, stressed out, worried, terrified, come to him, put yourself under his Lordship, and receive the one who, because he is Lord, can give you real peace. I think Christ is our peace who comforts us, and I think Scripture is also quite clear that Christ is the peace who saves us. He is the peace who brings us salvation. Romans 5, verse 1 says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, not by a whole bunch of good stuff you did, but by faith, we have peace with God Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God not because we're over here trying to do all of these things. We have peace with Him because we are under His rule. We have come by faith to place our trust in Christ, and He is our salvation. I think I spent a lot of my life early on in my faith, particularly sort of believing that I had to do a lot of, even if it was subconscious, believing I had to do a lot of good stuff for God to like me. Maybe somewhere I knew that wasn't true, but I kept acting like it. And even more than that, I kind of liked to do a lot of good stuff so people thought I was a good kid, right? I'm a good kid because I do good things. And that was kind of how I did in like high school and even a little bit into college. But when I got to college, I hit a wall on some of this stuff. I was away from all my family, away from all my friends. Nobody knew me. And I was somewhat free for whatever was in my life to pop its ugly head up, right? And so I went through a period of time that I struggled with some things in college. For me, because I was the good Christian kid, I couldn't do anything outwardly that was sinful because everybody would notice it. So I stuck to secret things like pride, like being over here and doing all this stuff to make myself look good, all the while knowing that it made me feel better about myself, like I was somehow superior. I struggled, like most boys, with pornography and lust. That was tough, and in college it hits ahead. And I have to start dealing with these things. Someday you'll probably hear the story of Maria and I dating. I was not a good dating boyfriend, okay? She'll tell you, I was horrible. And I hurt her, really, in some ways. And when I finally realized in my life, I am not as good as I hoped I was, right? I don't have it all together. I might do some of this stuff, but my heart still needs the Sar Shalom. It still needs to experience that through faith. That was a time for me to turn away from all of that and come to Christ. And that's, in a nutshell, why Christmas is so important. That there is a time when a child came to save us. There is a time when a child came to save us from our sin. I think sin is a word that scares us. But just look at the stuff that Jesus himself says in the Sermon on the Mount at your own life. Just a couple. Have you been angry with someone this week? Committed murder, says Christ. Have you looked lustfully at anyone? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. But you've already committed adultery, says Scripture, in your heart. Have you done, this is me, a good thing in front of people to get their attention? That's prideful, says Matthew 6. Those are sin. It's just the tip of the iceberg. We all have this thing in us that has us bent toward the ways of not doing the things that God has for us. And so a child comes who is born divinely so that he is not influenced by the effect of sin. He lives a life that is perfect, and he offers himself as a sacrifice through his death and resurrection for our salvation, to provide a means of peace with God, a spiritual sense of peace. The peace that comforts us is a very our world physical sense of peace to a degree. The peace of spiritual peace with God is something far deeper. And Christ has come as the prince, the captain of peace to give us that. Maybe you're not over here with the Tsar being your Lord, experiencing spiritual peace. And maybe for you this Christmas season is the time to finally be drawn near to him. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14 says this. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. But now in Christ, when you are in him. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, you were a long way off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Why? Because Christ is our peace, says Ephesians 2. Christ is our peace with Almighty God. You can't earn your way to spiritual peace like maybe I tried in my life early on. You can't do enough good stuff. We are all bent toward sin, and we have to come to a place that the Prince of Peace becomes our Lord, and we experience that peace with God. We believe that he's enough, and we trust him. He becomes the one that reigns over our life. Outside of Christ, we have no promises. In him, we are promised peace that passes all understanding, spiritual peace with God, the one who rules and the one who is in charge. So I guess I want to ask you today, where are you at with peace? with experiencing the comforting peace of God, but also with experiencing the saving peace of God. Maybe for you this morning, you've never come to faith in Christ. You've never made Him Lord of your life, and you're still standing here by yourself trying to make it work, trying to be good enough, trying to feel that sense of peace, but you have yet to make Christ Lord of your life, and He is calling you to come near, to place your faith and trust in Him and experience His peace. Maybe for you, you've put your faith in Christ, but you sort of wandered out from underneath that little protective case that we saw in the video, and you're experiencing lots of anxiety and stress and anger and frustration. And the call for you through the Prince of Peace is to bring those things to Him, to lay them at His feet, to give them to the Prince of Peace and receive from Him the comfort for those things, to receive from Him peace that passes all understanding this morning. So that's my challenge. Where are you at with peace? As you process through this Christmas season, are you experiencing the peace of Christ in your life through His comfort? Do you have the peace of eternal security? The peace of eternal solid ground to stand on because of the Prince of Peace who you have placed your trust in.